Will there be times in the life of every believer when we need help from God and we will need it quick? Typically, these will be pressured moments of distress when time seems to have run out. Most of the time when we cry out to God for help, it is because we have real trouble. There will be times in our lives when the only person who will be able to help us will be God. And in those times, we do need to cry out to God. Looking at Psalm 70 today, we may observe that two specific times in this short psalm, the word hasten occurs. The Hebrew word actually means to make haste in the sense of asking God to run or move fast and do something with great speed and acceleration. So this psalm is all about asking God to move fast and put the pedal to the metal and accelerate to a great speed so that in a fast way, God comes to help. It is clear that this is a psalm about needing God's help and needing it fast and now. And we may notice from the superscription that this psalm is written for the choir director, which means it's written for public communication. It's a psalm written by David, and it's written for a memorial. Now, by virtue of the fact that the psalm is a memorial, we may assume that this psalm was written by David, and he wrote it so God's people would bring it to their minds. So they would memorize it. They would memorialize it. In other words, David wrote this psalm so that people would bring it to their minds often. He did not want them to forget the point of it, which is this. When you find yourself surrounded by circumstances and people who are making life difficult for you by mocking you, humiliating you, and trying to destroy you, always remember you may go to God in prayer and ask for his quick help and intervention. The obvious assumption is if you are right with God, there will be people who will mock you, seek to humiliate you, and will try to destroy you. In those times, you and I need to be running to God. God has a special listening ear to his faithful servants who are under fire. And when people pray while under the fire of some imminent threat, they can experience God's swift delivering help. So it's a simple plan to analyze, a psalm to analyze. And there's four parts to it. There's the first part where David prays to God for his quick deliverance and help. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 70. Make haste, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And we may notice from this verse that the same person is prayed to, but there are two different nouns used to address the person. David aims his prayer at one person whom he identifies as God and as Lord. The first noun, God, is Elohim, and it is the plural noun for God. This particular noun speaks of the plurality of God and the sovereign power of God in creation. This plural noun certainly lends itself to a Trinitarian perspective of God, one God in three distinct persons, and it also may be viewed as a plural of excellence or majesty, which refers to the sovereign majesty of God. The second noun, Lord, is Jehovah or Yahweh, which refers to the self-existing sovereign I Am, covenant God of Israel, who does whatever it is he wants to do in and of himself. Now, here is a grammatical point in Hebrew worth pointing out. The verb make haste is an imperfect tense masculine singular verb. Now, the imperfect tense means that David is asking God to immediately start the process of help and continue it until it is finished. But here is something powerful to see. The masculine singular verb indicates there is only one God. Even if there are three persons, David is addressing only one God. This God may have many different names, but there is only one true God. And David is asking this one true God, sovereign God, to help him. There's specific things that David asked God to do for him in a very fast way. He asked God to give him swift deliverance. That Hebrew word meaning of the word deliverance is one that means to take away or snatch one away from and preserve from danger. David was in real danger and he needed God's help right now. And then David asked God to give him swift help. The word help means to help and aid someone by going to them and surrounding them to give them strength and defense. David is asking the sovereign, majestic God to quickly take him out of the dangerous situation and help him. He realized that his strength and his ability to survive totally depend on God, not on himself. And then we see that second part where David prays to God and asks God to take specific actions against his enemies. Look at verses 2 and 3. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Well, let's not kid ourselves. When we're right with God, there are certain people who would love to see us mess up. David's enemies literally sought for his life to end. There were people who wanted to hurt David and kill David. And David was not one to shy away from praying about enemies. And when he prayed very specifically. And if you were David's enemy, you might think this is a light matter. And who cares if he prays about me? Well, an enemy of David would be very wise to realize that if David starts praying about the enemy, God's ear is open to his prayers and the enemy he is praying about is in serious trouble. And there are three requests that he makes. David asks God to shame and humiliate his enemies. That word shame is one that literally means to cause someone to be dry and fruitless. The word humiliate is one that means to be dishonored to the point of blushing. David is asking God to dry up his enemies to the point that they have no productive life whatsoever. He wants them humiliated to the point that they are left blushing because they are so dishonored. David wants God to do this quickly. It's an amazing prayer. David is up against enemies who want him gone, and he so believes in the power of prayer that he may actually humiliate his enemies. David asks God to turn back and dishonor enemies trying to hurt him. That's a remarkable request. David is asking God to swiftly reverse things and turn things around and confuse the enemies and move them in a backward direction. And then David's asking God to turn back those mocking him. That word aha, which is repeated twice, is actually a word that means to gloat in joy over an enemy's misfortune. The repetition of the word is for emphasis. So what these people were doing was emphatically gloating over hurts and hardships David was experiencing. They were joyous about the fact that he was so under attack. There are these people who do rejoice when they inflict greater pain and malice on others. You think of Nero or Caligula or Domitian or Hitler. Just to name a few are the types who gloat and get joy over people who suffer. What David is doing is asking God to bring his mocking enemies to shame so that they turn completely away from their attacks. They're praying that they will be brought back to the point where they respect him and honor him. He prays that God will quickly turn them around. And then we see that third part where David prays to God and asks God to permit certain things to happen to the righteous. Look at verse 4. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. The assumption of this verse is that all who seek God and all who love God will have a right attitude toward David. The truth is, those who did not have a right attitude toward David were not in a right relationship with God. One cannot even separate one's attitude toward leaders who are right with God from their real relationship with God. Godly people love leaders who are right with God. And he makes these two requests. He requests that all who seek God have joy and gladness. If people do not seek God, they will not have joy and gladness. People do not have to be ashamed. People can be happy, joyful, and glad. But in order for that to happen, people must seek God. And then David requested that all who love God's salvation continually worship him. Again, the assumption is that one who is right with God can worship God, and one who is not right with God cannot possibly magnify God. It's impossible for one who does not love God and his word to magnify God. They may be religious, but they cannot magnify God. And then last, this fourth part, David prays to God and acknowledges his own condition. Look at verse 5. He says, but I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. David was afflicted and needed help. So again, he asked God to quickly come to his rescue. He knew he needed God's help, and God was the only one who could deliver him. And so there's some practical lessons here. If you are where God wants you to be, there will be those who mock you, humiliate you, and try to destroy you for no reason. We can always pray and ask God to help us. And God gives special grace to his people when they are under fire. And only people who love God and his word can magnify God.